Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vix Layton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting. Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, which is part panel show, part competition, part nonsense, to be honest. Because it's an arcade, people sometimes know how to cheat them, you know, giving a little hip bump to the two pence machine to push a few out. That never works, actually. I tried that a lot when I was a kid, just bruised my thigh. But and also the prize was 2p's, so it wasn't worth the money. But yeah, that was just information. That wasn't a joke. Yes, so as with any arcade, there are cheat codes you can put in. Each player has three sexy cards that can be played. There's the new balls card. So if you do not like the ball that has been drawn, you don't think you've got a zinger for it, you can play new balls. There's a double or nothing.
I have been wanting new balls for several years. They do not work.
Introducing player one, John Robertson.
Hey, how are you? I'm impotent. That was my apparently that was my intro. What a joy!
I was genuinely worried.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's on my Tinder. It's on everything. It's wonderful. I mean, it's a bummer to have those profiles when I'm actually married. But nevertheless, she knows. I'm no harm to anybody.
John Robertson, there is double or nothing. If you think your story is going to be the best story of the round, you can play that before the round is played. If you have got the best story, you get double points. If you haven't got the best story, your points go to somebody else. So think very carefully before playing that. And on the last round, before the ball is drawn, you can play the fruit machine. If you think you've had a shocker, it will randomly reallocate the scores. So all the work that somebody else has done, you can take it.
Yay.
But you might end up with a lower score, or you might end up with your own score back. So these cards can only play once per game. So if someone else plays it, it's lost to you forever. So keep that in mind. You don't have to play them. Maybe we'll all just enjoy the limitedness of our own talent, but probably not. So.
And what do we win?
The glory.
Cool. That's all right. I'll tell my landlord I'm paying rent in glory next month.
Yeah, and applause. And you get the laughs of three others, which is basically the average open mic as an open mic comedian.
This is quite busy. This is quite busy for an open mic.
It's a good audience.
In a pandemic, it's the average gig, I think.
Hey, guys, I've got a lot of opinions about women I'd like to express via the microphone.
Why don't you tell us something about yourself?
You're in the right place.
I look like a thing and a thing. Oh, there we go. Oh, is it after 8:30 p.m. in an empty pub somewhere in London? Perfect.
I think this is only the comics will only get those jokes.
Those weren't jokes.
No,
I was
again,
having
that's
a horrifying
now all
flashback.
Gigs. That's all gigs now. Yeah.
Mate, I just did everyone's fucking podcast in one go. I'm very sad. Yeah, we know.
You're in the right place, though. A white man complaining in a podcast studio is where you're supposed to be.
No, you're exactly right. Where's my money? Where's my money and my job commentating the UFC?
You need to sell some brain pills or something. You need to be.
I'll tell you what you need right now. Yeah, yeah. Okay, you need these anti-impotence pills. I do.
Oh, right, that again is it. So early, right. So yes, player one is the lovely John Robertson, Puffin author.
Yes, yeah, I wrote the book The Little Town of Maraville for Puffin, which was very nice. And here's me putting on my lovely Radio 4 voice. And I just want to say that on the back of these lovely Fruit Machine New Balls and Double or Nothings, I've just noticed there are actually these are postcards of the covers of various books, and I am delighted to have a copy of Watership Down.
That wasn't chosen for you.
No, it's brilliant. It's a comedy show, and I'll have you know, these rabbits are going to fucking die.
You're also a Twitcher.
I am. I'm twitch.tv/Robotron, R-O-B-B-O-T-R-O-N. I stream twice a day, 6 days a week, and I do the show The Dark Room, world's only live-action video game. Lots of fun.
And next to him, we have player two, is Tin and Dueb. And yeah, how you doing?
I'm all right. I just realised that I'm so old. I thought a Twitcher was someone that like looked for birds and stuff. It's not, is it?
Are you very someone, disappointed I'm
really,
not
feeling I'm so ancient. I'm so old. And I'm so down with the kids.
I have been on Twitch.
That's the worst thing. I just thought when you said John's a Twitcher, I was like, oh, I didn't know you were a bird spotter. Oh, no, that's not. Oh, right. Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, you got there in the end.
It's been a long year.
Yeah. And player three, the fabulous comedian, podcaster,
writer, actor.
Oh, yeah, I've got your book.
An unemployed person. Oh, you've got my book. Yes.
I have. It's very good. We'll talk about that at the end when we're plugging our things. But yeah, it's very good. And it is the wonderful Maureen Younger. Welcome.
Hiya, thanks for having me.
Right, without further ado, let's consult the balls, shall
Ooh.
We? Like I said, high production values. Oh,
that
we
makes a very pleasing sound. That's like ASMR right here.
Isn't it?
What's ASMR?
I can't remember what it stands for, but it's when like people do soothing sounds, so so they're like, they talk in a voice like this.
Americans sometimes molest rats.
Bubble wrap or something so that you feel calm.
Oh, that's
during
right.
lockdown, I just wanted the sounds of like people shouting out of their cars on my road or something. Just general violence.
Living in East London, you get that.
Well, that's
free.
It. Yeah, I missed it.
Yeah, come down my street anytime, mate. Anytime you want.
Anyway. Right, so it's ball number six. What is the worst prize you've ever won?
New balls. Sorry.
What a wonderful prize,
Maureen. I just had something for that.
How lucky.
So mean.
No, how lucky for you.
Unbelievable.
You just won it in a bloody lottery.
So
I've got friends who've paid money for that procedure. Good on you. Well done.
Okay, then, so it's not that. We'll never get to know, Tina. We'll have you on
Fine.
Another episode talking
Sorry.
About that.
Maureen has just lived every comedian's dream of another comedian going, I've got a great story going. No, shut up.
No.
So, the worst thing is the only thing I've got anything for, so I'm not just going to have to...
Fantastic. Yeah.
Be silent.
Well, listen to the soothing sounds.
I'm going to have a little doze. I'm really comfy.
Okay, number 16, drunk behaviour.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Let's start with the Aussie.
Let's start, John.
Yeah, my wife has a very fond memory of me shitting the bed, by which I mean...
Fond memory?
Well, fond in the sense that she tells this story like it's not embarrassing to me, but what she actually means is she was very angry. The part that she particularly disliked was my fervent claim that it wasn't shit, which I believed I could do. I didn't realise that you weren't meant to drink and smoke pot at the same time and it would have a terrible effect. I was trying to impress some people I don't actually like, so I don't know why I was doing that. And I was also in my late 20s while I was doing that, so why the fuck I was behaving like a teenager, I don't understand. But in our beautiful hotel bed in the middle of...
Oh, it was a hotel!
I wouldn't shit in my own fucking bed, would I?
Oh, you've got standards!
That's practical!
Not an idiot. You don't shit where you eat. Anyway, here we go, and I have a wonderful time eating there. Anyway, you know, once she let me again. We woke up, and there were just these terrible streaks of very watery brown residue. And my wife said to me, John, is that shit? And I replied, no, it's Pepsi. It's Pepsi. And so for the
and
last...
And you thought she was going to believe you?
About a half a second she did. And then for the last 10 years, any stain has been greeted with her going, is that Pepsi? John, that Pepsi?
It's a callback.
Yeah, I'm aware it's a callback. How very nice of you to go full Stuart Lee on me and explain my own job.
How much damage did the hotel make you... have to pay it.
It's Australia, zero. I mean, the bed was
just
already
used to that.
But the bed was
just
already made of human
shit.
Does
that come on the sort of premiere? I'd love to have a sort of Lenny Henry Aussie advert.
This
where
was
like,
a
you can even shit the bed.
This was a beautiful thing. Oh, you can shit the bed. You can throw the fucking chairs out the window. No one cares.
I think technically you could shit the bed and leave. I think that
you have to sleep in it. You've made your bed. You lie in it. That's what my father taught me.
I mean, I
reeked of Pepsi, that man.
I haven't tried, but I think if I did happen to shit the bed by accident at a hotel, I probably would
leave as quickly as possible.
Well, to be fair, I'm glad you said by accident, because if you do it deliberately, you've really got to own
that's
that.
That's an issue, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I just but the hotel, they don't even like charge. They don't sort of say, right, well, you probably should pay for new sheets or.
Well, no, but I suppose just, they get lots of stuff on there.
They must get terrible.
They are able to wash things.
What?
Yeah, I mean,
what
this isn't
about?
This isn't the worst fluid that they've ever had.
My mind is blown. You don't do bird spotting. People can wash stuff. This is very weird for me.
You've been inside the house a long time.
A very long time.
Tell me, what about you? What's your drunk story?
I was trying to think of which one to tell you. I spent
amazing.
I spent my 20s really drunk. I've done things like I fell asleep in a skip, and I left my own birthday party when I was 21 and fell asleep on a doorstep, and they took about 2 hours to find me, and that was quite good. But I'll tell you, this is. I'm wondering whether to name the person who was involved. There was a girl that I was sort of seeing at university, and when it was after the winter ball, which happened in, I can't remember. No, in fact, I don't know where it was. I drank a bottle of vodka before it started. I think it was at the Margate Winter Gardens. It was all like sort of casino style, and we were meant to be dressed up and everything. And anyway, we sort of got together at that, and then back at her room in her dorms, we'd been drinking very, very heavily. All I remember is I sort of fell asleep on top of her and then passed out. And then she, in the middle of the, well, later than that, needed to go to the loo, but she left her dorm room and the door locked behind it, and
so
she was only in a t-shirt.
Had you started something, or was that just
I was a total mess. I was awful.
They were playing a great game of Monopoly.
We were just playing Monopoly, and no, it was mid-coitus, right? I'm going to stick with the old-fashioned Twitcher man. It was mid-coitus, but I totally passed out and then snored like an absolute hero, and she needed the loo. She was only in a t-shirt, and because it was all in dorms, so it was a shared loo, so she left her room to go to the loo and the door locked behind her, and then I wouldn't wake up as she banged and banged on the door to try and get me to wake up, and then all her dorm friends came out who weren't expecting to see her in just t-shirt, and then she had to go down to the guard, the warden, to come and get the door open. I passed out for the entire thing. I was not very. We didn't get to see each other again after that. But
surprising.
You know, I was terrible. Terrible dream. But yeah, fell asleep.
Who says romance is dead?
Yeah, so she's somewhere on a podcast talking about the worst date she ever had, about having disappointed half sex.
I was going to say, Tina, that sounds suspiciously like her story.
I think it is her story.
You were an inert log.
Yeah. I was completely out. Yeah,
and then Deus ex non machina.
She met the man she married. So there you go.
Well, I have to say,
it all turned out all right in the end.
To be fair, there are no rules against throwing somebody else under the bus. It doesn't have to be your drunk behaviour. You just have to be willing to stand by it when tens of people, literally tens, listen to this.
There are rules against that. It's called murder.
I have to say, for my drunk story, I've never been drunk in my life because I don't really drink. So I'm always been tipsy, but I've never been drunk. But I'm very loud and leery. So people have thought I've been drunk and have argued with me about being drunk. And I'm like, no, I'm just loud and leery naturally. I don't need to drink. I've never seen the point of getting drunk. I think it's a pointless thing to do. So I will have a tip. I will have a little bit of a tipsy drink, get a bit tipsy, but I will never be drunk.
All right, Maureen, hold up. Hold on, I'm just going to get more Prosecco for me and the host. No, don't worry about it. It's okay, everyone. Straight edge Maureen Younger. Everyone?
Well, I don't see the point. I can enjoy myself without getting drunk.
We'll just have to keep the conversation going while he goes to our bar.
The Camden Fringe used to be... the Camden Crawl, that was it. It used to be the big music thing. And there was a year when we hosted comedy there. I was hosted with Tiff Stevenson, I think. And what we didn't realise, they gave us these big... crates of tequila beer. I can't remember what it's called.
Desperados.
Other
tequila beers are available, but this isn't the BBC, so it doesn't matter.
Of course, And what we didn't realise is they'd given us 3 days worth in one. We thought they were giving us a different allocation every day, so I got through half of it in one day thinking we'd have some the next day, and then just completely messed up the entire show, fell sideways into the bar and scarred my arm, and then found out that the rest of the weekend didn't have any booze because we
drank it all.
Sorry, hold up.
Terrible times.
While I was out of the room, did Maureen's story finish and Tina went, oh, I get another go?
Yeah, I just went for it. Well, but this is after she new balls me on the first one. I feel I may as well, get my extra
tailing. Hey, if I new balled you wouldn't be able to talk, love. Right, anyway.
Whoa. What does that even mean?
I don't know. I'm excited.
Most contact I've had in months.
So have you never been tempted to, like, just give it a try?
No.
Look, I love that.
Imagine.
I was never a drinker until I couldn't cope with life, so...
Be more Maureen, John. Like,
yeah, I'd love to.
Don't give a fuck about anything. Like,
oh, no, I never said I gave a fuck about anything. Now I just can't cope with that. My problems can't be solved by reading a quote from Twitter, you know, so anyway.
Anyway, on to the next thing.
I can't imagine enjoying a situation for the sake of it.
That was the sound of a mini Prosecco bottle opening for the listeners at home. Aww. We won't comment on what time of day it is. It's like an airport in here. Drinking is appropriate whenever you like. So... The best thing you've ever bought?
Oh, for me, it was around
Maureen,
the world.
Straight away.
Sorry, it was a round the world trip. So I went round the world.
New balls!
You couldn't get one! You couldn't give one! It's already gone!
Play it. She's
I've already played it, love.
Oh, what? That's ridiculous. I'm damn this
wait,
game.
Hang on, hang on. That's, oh, it doesn't matter.
You can only play one card.
No, I was waiting.
I mean, I'm tempted to support. I'm tempted to second it, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, you know what? Fuck it. No, no.
Go.
I'm passing a motion through the chair. No, and that's also unrelated to what I'm saying. But yeah, no. Let's new balls. New balls. There we go.
I don't care.
New balls.
I don't want to hear about your round the world trip. I support it. New balls.
Lucky chip. It was a very funny story. Anyways. Can't help if I'm funnier than the others.
Do we want
to
hear
Maureen?
It was at that
point that Maureen assured you it was very good content.
Should we? I feel bad now. We want to hear your story. Look, Tiernan is not going to back himself in this.
No, I actually feel very bad about what Tiernan's done. And No, shut up, you sexist prick.
I can't believe you
wrong with you.
Spoke over it.
No, dreadful. Noted misogynist Tiernan. Right. Maureen, it's a beautiful inclusive space.
I mean, suppose we're building up the story. Isn't that funny? But anyway, I
knew it. New balls.
I went round. world, and I ended up in LA, and I was on Hollywood Boulevard, and the Earth.
You're on borrowed time, yeah.
No, the Earth. Yeah. Well, then okay, won't say it. It's fine.
Come on.
No, it's all right.
Hey, Tiernan, get a load of the woman-on-woman verbal violence there from the host. Terrible.
I saw it. It was.
No, really good. Women are meant to support women. What the fuck's wrong with you? Okay, no. Maureen, I'm very interested to hear your story.
I'm not interested in saying it now. It's fine.
No, that's good. That'll add pathos to it. It'll be like one of those unfunny Woody Allen films that still won awards. Give it a go. Well, it's all of them. I know. Why do people still give him money? I don't understand. Amazon gave him a series.
Did they?
Because the patriarchy.
That's actually right. There we go. Yeah.
It's not funny. It's just true.
Yep.
Right. So
that may as well be the tagline for the patriarchy in general.
Right. Come on now. Let's get it together.
Right. So are we all now?
Well, I mean, you know, comedy's all about timing and stuff and building rhythm and momentum, and it's gone. But anyway, so what happened was
Hollywood Boulevard.
I was on Hollywood Boulevard, and an earthquake happened, and I didn't notice. I thought. It was a massive earthquake, didn't notice, because I'm a Londoner, I heard the earth move and rumble, and I just thought, oh, that's a really noisy underground system. So I really did think that, I thought it was the underground, even though they don't have an underground system because it's an earthquake zone. But anyway, I saw people running, I saw buildings shake, and I just really thought, oh, that underground, that God, that is noisy. And then this guy came up to me, and that was a really bad quake, and went, what quake? And he just looked at me as if I was a complete nutter, because I hadn't noticed that I'd actually survived. If I'd known it was an earthquake, I would have been absolutely shitting myself. I just thought it was the earth underground.
Yeah, and they just thought those people from the
people
UK.
People are running for some reason.
Yeah,
but I don't connect the dots sometimes, and I didn't realise it was an earthquake.
I disagree that a disrupting your flow affected that joke.
Well, you should have said, oh, sorry, Tommy's a bit funny. Or you should have,
nailed it.
There's no correcting that. Maureen Young is a better comedian. Yeah. That was brilliant.
It was just perfectly.
Look, I loved the bit where you went, well, comedy's all about timing. I was like, oh, you were dragging this out, so this ended come back. Yeah. Your technique is exemplary, my samurai friend. This is wonderful.
For a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Comedy delivered.
I know.
So that was my thing. I actually went through an earthquake and didn't notice.
Love
masterclass.
It.
Masterclass.
Be more Maureen.
Mm. Wasn't the question best thing you've ever bought?
Yeah, she bought a trip.
She bought around the world.
Oh, I see. Right, got it.
And like, but then I've kind of crowbarred a joke on
like
you.
It was perfect. Look, I've worked with you and I've heard that story told through a microphone to a couple of hundred pretty disinterested people, so that was great.
Shut up, that was improvised.
It certainly was. And I remember when she improvised it 5 years ago at Jongleurs Nottingham, but nevertheless.
It's like when I compare. Oh, I've never said anything before.
Never said any of that before.
It's all original.
Look, I love Maureen's comparing. I love, look, she invented, where are you from? She came up with that.
Yeah, that was me.
What's your name? Wow. No one had ever thought to ask. Prior to that, they just gave people names and locations.
Mind you, on occasions, I have given people names. So
yeah, I do that.
What's your Best Buy.
Nothing.
Fred Perry t-shirt.
Some noise cancelling headphones.
Yes. Fucking high five off camera.
Oh, that's what makes it even worse.
Tiernan's sitting in between them, right? And I feel like you should move because there's something really special happening.
Go on, tell us what's your Best Buy.
I don't know if I've got one. I probably just noise cancelling headphones so that I can ignore my daughter screaming things at me for hours. I don't think I've ever bought anything particularly.
You know, if you had some condoms, that would have been a lot cheaper.
It would have been.
That would have been his Best Buy.
You just put them over the child's head and it can't breathe. Would have been. That's how that works. They extend a really long way.
They make a really good TikTok as well. I'd watch that.
It's very true, actually. Yeah.
Well, not if they died. Obviously, that would be very dark.
Well, you don't. If you're going to die, you put it on Twitch. That's very good content for Twitch.
Oh, that's true, isn't it?
I mean, they'll take it down, but then
it's better if you find the body in the woods, isn't it?
That was YouTube. Logan Paul, everybody. Yeah, suicide exploiter Logan Paul.
Sure, that's it. Yeah. Did wonders for his career.
It did, unfortunately.
Less so for the guy in the woods.
Well, he was already dead.
So, yeah.
So.
Wasn't going to make it anyway.
No.
He couldn't notice the earthquake.
Anyway,
tell us
shall we move on from this comedy goldmine that is suicide?
Yeah.
Yeah, please. That'd be great. Oh, no story from Robertson?
Did you have one?
Yes. I have a full-body latex catsuit that I bought for myself, and that is a fucking pleasure. That thing, because there is a street gang that every summer forms down near my place, and they do not like me, and they like me even less in the latex catsuit, and I powder myself up, me thighs chafing against one another, and there's something about squeaking towards a group of tough young men, and they fuck off. It is a wonderful feeling.
I mean, that is quite an image.
Oh, it's a wonderful image. Also, there's
Has it got a mask with it, or is it just body?
No, the mask you can add on if you want, but I want them to know who it is. I don't want them to think some random gimp is approaching them. I want them to know.
It's me,
it's
your neighbor.
John Robertson!
That is the most incredible image. I wish you'd done it instead of Halle Berry. That sounds like a much better
Thank
film.
You so much, yes.
Better film.
I do it all the time. It's a wonderful thing.
Wow. Well, yeah, I can tell why you wanted to really get that story in. It's spectacular.
It's still at the house. I could go get it.
No.
Oh, well, thanks for body shaming me, but nevertheless, that's fine.
It's not body shaming. It's
new
just
balls!
It's just I don't know if I'd be able to concentrate on anything else.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you.
Anyway, it's all got a bit saucy in here, hasn't it, all of a sudden?
Yeah. Yep.
Was it before the latex or after? I don't know. It might have been John's fangirling of Maureen.
No, 100%. Well, I've always admired your work, Maureen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Robertson.
Now, Tina and I've known you about 15 years. I've always admired Maureen.
Since Maureen was 14.
Since I was 14. No, thank you very much.
Actually, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's getting there. 2011. So 8 years.
This is great chat, guys. Really relevant to the viewers at home.
Right, let's move on. What's the next ball?
Why did no one stop me having the prosecco?
What's the worst gift you've ever given or received? I'm kind of frightened of this. John, have you got a story?
Why? Yeah, I've got a story. There's a sex shop in the middle of Perth, Western Australia, where me and my little friends used to go when we were under 18 and then get chased out, and it was very embarrassing. So it was kind of like a rite of passage to go in there as a grown man. Mm. And in an attempt at really performative, angry masculinity, I treated it like going to a butcher shop. So I walked in, and when I saw the guy behind the counter was another bloke, I went, "Oh, g'day, mate, what can you do us in a butt plug?" And your man goes, "About 20% off." And there was a lovely lady that I was faintly involved with at the time. So I texted her and went, "What's your favourite colour?" And she told me it was red. So I got her this this red steel butt plug with a red jewel in the bottom of it. And I showed up for that date and presented this like it was a great trophy and was greeted with a facial expression that suggested, "Who are you?" Followed by the phrase, "That looks very pointy." Followed by the phrase, "Leave."
I'm on her side, I have to say. Probably would have done.
Yeah,
the
I
same.
Remember you
it's
were there.
Bold.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it was you. Wasn't.
No. Well, you know, somebody bloody took it. Anyway.
That is indeed. Do you think that was a good or bad gift then? What's your take?
No, every part of that was a bad gift.
It's and a bad decision.
Oh, look, when somebody looks at you, like in the eyes, is like, not even hello. Just this straight to, do you want to put this in your ass? You know, it's like, it just, well, look.
But in Australia, that's probably flattery, isn't it? That's,
yeah, it's a real shame we weren't in Australia. It's a real bummer.
That's
shit in the bag.
No, it wasn't a bummer, was it? That's the trouble. It didn't, didn't come off.
Yeah, but it popped out. So, yeah, anyway.
Okay, I think, I was the recipient of a bad present in that my mum treated me to go on holiday with her to Benidorm. But it was at the time, it gets even worse. It was the time of year when it's only full of Spanish tourists because Spanish OAPs get 2 weeks free from the government to go on holiday after the summer season finishes. So I was in a hotel with my mother and a load of Spanish OAPs. I was the youngest by far by about 30 years, which generally never happens. And I was watching the entertainment, which was this aged two flamenco dancers who'd passed the sell-by date. And at one point, they were in S&M gear with a whip. And the Spanish OAPs just were loving it. And I remember texting my friends going, my life is a sitcom. And I looked up and the guy had changed. I hadn't noticed the change. He changed into an all-in-one bodysuit and half of it was transparent. So you could see half his bum naked.
Wow.
And at the front as well.
And then my mum said to me, this is your Christmas present. And I went, it so fucking isn't. I was like, it's not. Because basically she got me there because I could bring back her cigarettes. She loves to smoke. And so I was basically there as a cigarette mule. That was why she'd invited me.
What a woman. What a woman. I went to Benny on a Groupon deal. It was £120 all-inclusive for 4 days. And we were like, this is suspiciously cheap. No.
How much money for
it? It was worth exactly £120 for 4 days. Our entertainment was a parrot show.
What?
It was a parrot on a bicycle. And he went round without people's consent and just dumped the parrot onto your shoulder and lap and then tried to charge you €10 for a photo.
I mean, this sounds amazing. Though.
And you had to pay the €10 or he wouldn't take the parrot away.
Wow.
I would have paid it if he'd taken it on my phone. But what do you do with those shiny photos? You know, like when you go on a roller coaster and everyone's doing the worst face they've ever done. And like, it's that. And he was like, you must buy photo. And he was like, €10. I was like, just take it away. It's aggressive.
Yeah. Like, it was parrots are horrifying.
Animals. Really horrible. And my friend who I'd gone with was a bit more like right on about animal rights as well. So she didn't enjoy the thing. So I was like, I am prepared to have a grand photo of dreams here. Where she was like, this is just so cruel. I was like, yes, I mean, this is just so cruel. Yes.
Did the parrot talk? Like, I wonder if it repeated the screams of the people that it had been stuck with for days and days before.
Yeah, I think it
wouldn't have the photo. Get off me.
It played basketball.
Leave my eyes alone.
As well. It could play basketball.
Not the eyes.
I was gripped. It was genuinely gripped. And also, it was the only time because it was off season. So it was just a lot of very old men, mainly. There were 7 mobility scooters parked outside our hotel. And it was like, I got to know what it's like to be like a 10 because all women younger than those men in their minds were a 10. I was treated like a 10. I felt like a model. Like, it was spectacular.
What is it about old people that they think what you want to see is a parrot on a bicycle?
But it's true, I did.
That's all I want to see. I mean, we've lived through an earthquake. We've had an incredible time, but I want to see a parrot on a bicycle. I mean, Maureen, how long have you been doing stand-up?
Oh, since 2005.
Okay. Tiernan?
2003.
Yeah, and I've been going since 2003. And I say this with love because I genuinely respect both of you. Nothing any of us have done is anywhere near as evocative or good as a parrot on a bicycle.
I totally agree. Yeah, 100%.
If we could sum up our jobs as parrot on a bicycle, people would understand what we did. We'd have more money.
Yeah. And we'd probably still be working.
Oh, yeah.
That parrot's got short jobs. He's like killing it on TikTok.
Yeah, and parrots live for fucking forever as well.
Yeah.
Their living costs are nothing.
Have you ever done one of those festivals with like one of those bubble people, the people that just does big, they do big bubbles.
Oh.
And everyone loses their mind. Yeah. And you're like, you're just blowing a bubble. And they're like, yeah, oh my God, children going crazy. And then you come on stage, tell jokes. And they're like, yeah, but where's the bubbles, mate?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah.
Like, you haven't made an effort. That's it. It's such a brutal, like, reality check.
What's your worst gift then, or best?
Probably the the first gift I bought my first girlfriend was horrific. But I mean, I say horrific, not butt plug horrific. It was. It was a. I didn't know what I was like. 13. I didn't know. I feel like it. This is the thing is, I thought, oh, this is a terrible present. Then I heard about John's. I was like, oh, it's actually not that bad. So,
yeah, well.
Yeah, the only bonus of yours is it stops you shit in the bed. So, I didn't know what to. I didn't know what to get a first girlfriend. I never had a girlfriend before, and I took advice from. She was in the year above me at school, and I took advice from one of her like friends in the year above, and he'd got a girlfriend. So we went to, I think it was like Islington Market or something to buy it. And anyway, I ended up buying her a little ring that had a smiley face on it because I thought that was cool because I was 14 and a dickhead. And it turned out that was the least cool thing, that it was the most ugly looking, horrible. Anyway, that was it. We'd lasted 2 weeks. I gave her that ring and she went, that is, ugh. And she sort of pulled the face like she was going to retch. Yeah, so that was quite bad. But I mean, fair play to her. She's now does quite well and is on TV and stuff. So I think
name names.
Can I? Yeah, probably can. Yeah, her name's Angel Colby, and she was in like Merlin and all
That's
those sorts
sexy
of TV
name.
Things. It was a sexy name. To have a first girlfriend who's older and called Angel. And
that is like, a name. That
how much older?
Than the smiley face
just
ring.
A year older.
That's okay. Okay.
Oh, thank fuck.
Yeah.
Did you think your podcast was about to expose something?
No. And also, because Angel, you might think she's dead. She might be so old, she's dead. And with the name like that. So I understand your worries.
No, I'm very concerned.
Don't know who to award the points to.
None of us.
My story was pointy.
Just make it easier.
I had the pointy.
I don't know if anyone deserves.
No one deserves anything.
It's going that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, let's move on.
So the problem with games is I just realise how mundane an existence I've had. I'm like, I've never bought anyone. I don't have a cat suit. I've never bought a bat.
Not yet.
I might have to go out and change things after this.
But
that's
I mean, you say mundane. You make your living through stand-up comedy and you've dated someone who was actually in a thing. I've never done either of those things.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with that is the first one, John, isn't true anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Right, so we've got a choice because two balls. We've got number 10. Which is guilty pleasures, or number 14, which is worst job you've ever done?
Oh, worst job. I'll double or nothing on this shit.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I won't. It's only because I wanted to use a card. It's probably not worth it.
Okay.
But
hang on, we better.
Worst job I ever did. Again, it's like always the first ones, but the first proper job I had was I got a job at the V&A Museum, right? Except it was in like one of the little cafes there. And I was 15, and they just gave me all the work of like pushing around big trays of plates and stuff after people at the cafe had finished them, but I had to do it after hours when they closed the museum and they turned all the lights off and it was just mummies and coffins and mosaics and things, and it was the scariest place, and I just found it so endlessly terrifying. And one day I managed to push an entire tray of plates into an ancient Roman mosaic, and they noticed 3 days later because it was already quite cracked, right? And so luckily I got away with it. And also on one day I served up
tagging
people,
them in.
I also they let me do some serving on some days, and I served people up these prawn, what were they, like little prawn cocktail type things? It was the 90s.
Vol-a-vol.
And anyway,
avocado was probably prawn.
That's
avocado.
Probably, yeah, it smelt weird. I knew it smelt weird. And anyway, it caused 15 people to be sick, quite violently sick. And the whole cafe had to be shut down for food poisoning. I don't think that
Do
was my
sure
fault,
you want
to be
this
fair.
Out on the public?
You didn't prepare them, you just served them, though.
No, they were really horrible to me as well. Yeah. So no, I didn't prepare them, so that's not my fault. I just served them.
You just served
and
them.
And I left the job after a week, so I was like, this isn't, I hate it.
How were you to just leave? You should have been fired.
Or fined for damaging the process art.
Because in this story, like the question is, what's the worst job you've ever had? And it's like, not the worst job I've ever done.
That's true, true.
Well, you don't know. It might not be the worst job he's ever done. But that's also,
I've seen him.
It's my entire comedy career, yeah. But being left in a museum alone at night with mummies and shit, I hated
was
that.
Was it tempting?
Did they come alive?
They probably did, but he's going to poison me.
My worst job was I was a rep in Spain in the 1980s, which is amazing because I'm only 38, as you know. Okay. But I was a rep in Mallorca, which in those days, package holidays, Brits who went there, they didn't want to be in Spain. They just wanted to be in Britain with the sun. So they get very annoyed about foreigners. That meant the Spanish being there. They got very annoyed about that. Hated the Germans. Apparently, we were still at war with them. And they complained about the food. And I remember this one woman went to me once, Not being funny, Maureen, not being funny, but those onion rings tasted really funny last night. I didn't have the heart to tell it was calamari because I thought she would go absolutely
sneaking
mental.
Squid into them.
Fucking hell. Like literally Shirley she Valentine's
thought,
a documentary.
Yeah, she thought they were onion rings. Like the
You're
onion rings tasted
me?
A bit
wow.
fun. No, she.
That's
she goes,
amazing.
She thought the onion rings tasted funny, and I was like, yeah. It was calamari, mate. But I was like, I can't tell her she ate calamari. She would go absolutely livid.
Like, okay, I'm Australian. If I say that's pig ignorant, that's the most pig ignorant thing
yeah,
ever.
You never. Yeah. All I got to say is yeah. British tourists, Spain, 1980s. Yeah. So you'd go like, what hotel are you staying in? Majorca? No, what? You're in Majorca. I had one person go to me. How can I get the? What bus do I get to go to Barcelona? And I'm like, we're an island, mate. There is no bus.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, and you'd get all the things. Or they'd it rain and they go, it's raining. So, yeah, we're in Spain. I mean, you know, it does rain in Spain.
Yeah, I mean, they fucking told you.
It falls
they
mainly
told you
on
in
the plane.
Yeah, they told you in The Sound of Music.
What was the other one? Oh, they complained about too many foreigners. food wasn't British enough. I mean, the Spanish was speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe it. What an insult.
It's jobs with other people. Can I sneak in another one? I know John's going to probably have a better one.
No.
Just very quick.
I've never had a real job. This is fine.
Oh, this is fine. Okay. I worked for a housing association on the building repairs department, which is basically where things would break and people would call you down the phone and shout at you about it and you'd send someone in to repair it at cheap cost and then it would break them in 24 hours and they'd get more and more angry with you. And one of the worst days was there was this man that used to come in who wore like a Robin Hood type hat, but it was black and a long black trench coat, and his name was Cornelius McNally, and he used to come in and go, my name's Cornelius McNally and my toilet is broken and I'm having to do pools in plastic bags. And I was like, oh no, it's the worst thing I've ever heard. Quick, call the plumbers. And we were like, sir, we're sending the plumbers around now, they'll be there within an hour, they're going to fix your toilet, they'll get it sorted, right? And I swear to God, this is true. Like 2 days later, he came in again, I'm still doing pools in plastic bags. And we were like, we thought the plumbers fixed your toilet. They did. Horrible.
Stuff.
Genuinely
mean,
grim.
Wow.
I play Fruit Machine.
Yeah, it is the last round, so that is an appropriate card to play.
Ah.
So we are going to now mix up the scores. I can tell you that there is a point in it between everybody. So there's 20, 21 and 22 are the scores at the moment.
Ooh.
So there's a lot to play for in this last round,
wow.
guys. So,
Ooh.
Yeah.
I might go shit in a plastic bag. I have done that.
So
I live with someone who did that as well.
Yeah. We've lived together a long time.
I'm going to get Chris involved now because he doesn't know what order I've put the numbers in. So, Chris, give me a number between 1 and 3. 3. John, you've now got Maureen's points.
Oh, damn.
What's next? Chris, give me another number. 2 or 1? 2 or 1? 2. Tiernan, you've got your own points.
Oh, I think I've probably done the worst.
No. You've been winning this entire time. It's a lovely thing.
So, yeah, Maureen and John, you've just swapped.
Oh.
Well, that's all right.
Right, let's go.
Ooh, what's the number?
It's exciting.
And the category is... I feel like RuPaul. I'm excited. It's first dates.
Don't fuck it up. There you go.
Oh, well, I can tell you one of my first dates. He was actually a New Zealander. He was a Kiwi. And we went to the cinema and he wanted to see one film. I wanted to see something else. And he definitely wanted to see this film. I was like, I don't really want to see that. I said, but don't worry about it. I go, you go and see your film. I'll go and see my film. And we'll meet in the foyer afterwards. And that was...
This is so you.
This is so me.
That's so good.
I love you.
Weirdly, we're not together. But... what was so funny, because I told Jen, because I was like, you know, he didn't really want to
Jen
carry on.
Jen is in Bristol, Jen.
Jen Bristol, because I was like, what's his problem? I think that's a really good, you know, I think, you know, you go and see you want to see, I go and see what's in me.
I think
afterwards.
That's practical. I like that. It's
and
sexy.
Jen went, quite, to be fair, Jen went, that wasn't really a date, Maureen. Technically, you were just in the same building. And I thought, yeah, you got a point. Because for me, I thought this shows what a great girlfriend I am. Because I'm very independent. You can do your own thing. But obviously, when you go on a date, you probably want to spend some time with the person. I suppose that's...
But in the cinema, you don't anyway, because you're just sitting in silence
next
to each other.
But when it's the first date, I suppose you should really spend some time with them in the room. I didn't want to go and see his movie.
What was it? Can you remember?
No, but I went to see... The one I went to see was The Tin Cup with Kevin Costner, which was a golfing movie.
Were you a fan of Kevin at the time?
I do like Kevin Costner, actually.
So you liked your date less when he came out?
Wow.
Spent 2 hours with Kevin Costner.
So anyway, weirdly, guys, still single. I don't know why. But anyway, there you go. That was one of my first dates.
That's amazing.
And last date, it has to be said.
anybody else.
It just sounds like you'd have a much more enjoyable time. Most of the, I think a lot of people would enjoy the cinema a lot more. I'll just go see what I want to see then. That sounds much better.
You know what's really wonderful about Kevin Costner? Because I watched a bit of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, yeah, it's a brilliant movie.
Yeah, but I love how leading men in the 90s are deeply unattractive. You know, it's wonderful. It's
how dare you?
No, but seriously, no, but in the sense of he's an older bloke, he's got a receding hairline, and at the moment I'm 35, and I'm like, there's hope. It's wonderful. I look at Kevin Costner, I look at Bruce Willis, and I'm like, it worked for them.
Yeah, I was never, I never fancied Bruce Willis, but
no, he wasn't
Fifth
my type.
Element, though.
No.
I
mean, well,
Richard Gere, he would have got it.
Oh, Richard Gere, yeah.
Gee, oh, he's so sensitive. He's a bit older, he's a bit sensitive.
But the rumour he's a little bit saucy as well.
Like, he put a gerbil up his ass. That's not the same thing.
I think I covered it with a little bit saucy.
So when he was young, Mel Gibson was incredibly sexy.
Don't cover the fucking gerbil with sauce. It'll hurt its eyes.
Yeah. It might go up a bit.
Finally, someone else. Yay. The Prosecco's working.
Anybody?
Tina, you got
Tony, what's your first date story?
I haven't had that many, like, really interesting. I once took a girl for dinner who I really fancied, and it was only sort of about three quarters of the way through the dinner that I had offered to pay for that she pointed out she was in a long-term relationship already, and she just got dinner off me, and that was pretty brilliant.
Well,
wow.
You should have just invoiced her at the end.
I should have gone, oh, yeah, we're just... I'd already sort of invited her out. I was like, oh, obviously I just meet people for dinner
sometimes.
Yeah,
I love that. Constantly. I love to pay for new friends, yeah.
I once went on a date and didn't know it was a date, so...
You know, oh, yeah, I've done that. Yeah.
She was already in a relationship, Tian, and was there. He was offering a free dinner.
Do you know what? There's a lot of crossover here.
Again, it was Jen Briss who went more, and that was a date, and I hadn't realised.
Oh.
Wow, she writes a lot of your material.
It's only
a date when you decide it's a date, though. No. You can't have a date enforced on you.
No, it was clearly the other person.
Consent.
The other person, they bought me a present and everything, and took me out for dinner, and I didn't click.
What was the present?
I'm not going to... No, because that might...
What's the worst present
you
ever got? You had an opportunity.
And you were happy. I got one.
Go on then.
I got one. First date I had with a nice young lady, we met at a science fiction convention and she went, do you want to come back to my room? And I went, yeah. I didn't quite understand why I wanted to go back there. And
do we need to talk about the birds and the bees?
Well, no. There weren't any in the room at the time, thankfully. What happened was there was a room party, and then gradually, like, a couple of friends of mine went, oh, John's pulled, so we're going to go. And I remember going out into the corridor going, what do you mean? Like, what, really? I was like, wow. I went back in. This nice girl said, oh, do you want me to give you a massage? And I went, oh, what a wonderful thing to do. She then handcuffed me to the bed, leaving me with her very muscular mate, who I recall. As she went off to talk to
male
her...
Male or female?
Male.
Interesting.
Who she then went off to talk to her then-boyfriend to see if this would be all right. While I was handcuffed to this bed, the guy looked at me and went, I love her.
Oh, my God!
Do you want to hear my love letter I've written to her? I said no.
No!
That didn't change anything because I was handcuffed to the bed. I couldn't fucking fix it. So he brought out this thing that was like a football made of duct tape. It was like a break in case of emergency, you know. Pulled all of that out, read me all of this thing. She came back, she gave me the massage, and it was a big time.
Was he in the room while she gave the massage?
Oh, no, he got told to fuck off, which was quite nice.
Yeah,
and then, you know,
good.
While she was giving me the massage, I'm like, do you know that guy loves you? And she went, yeah.
Oh.
It was a big day.
Wow.
Of course, I thought she was clearing it with the boyfriend. Turns out no, which I found out later when he indicated to me that I was going to die. That was fun.
Sure.
Big day for everybody.
Anybody got any advance on that? Or
no.
Are we going to close the
I've
book
never been threatened with death.
Right.
Never once. Sci-fi convention I've ever heard of.
I know.
No,
Randy.
Oh, they're surprisingly
Randy
horny,
nerds.
Really?
Randy nerds.
Wow.
Well, they're all in cosplay as well. That's hot, right?
Yeah. That's true.
I used to be a cosplay host, and I found that out later on that it was hot because I was very much sort of like, hey, my God, look at this wonderful outfit. And then, like, this mother came up and went, are you aware that these are all half-naked young women? I was like, what do you mean?
So when he's been tied to the bed, he's like, is this a date?
Well, that, yeah, I was like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? They're just dressed as anime characters. And they're like, oh, the thing that famously doesn't wear clothes. Oh, I see.
So yeah. It's like mainly designed by men. But yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, on that note, let's go around.
What's the scores?
And talk about, while I tally up the scores, what we're all doing with our lives. Start with you, John.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, it's fun. I've actually got to leave in a minute because I've got to go and do a thing. Mostly I've got to take myself out of this cat suit. But I've got to go to, I Twitch every single day at Twitch. Yeah, I just love the birds, mate. I love the birds.
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah, well, a lot of people, you know, don't be discriminatory. I Twitch every day at twitch.tv/Robotron, do two shows a day of just improvised comedy, lots of strange stuff. And, I've been doing that. That's how I've survived lockdown.
Tienan, what are you doing with your life?
Mainly parenting a completely bonkers 2.5-year-old who's just named her toy baby Cheese Manson, I don't know why she's chosen that name. Cool. Someone only pointed out recently it sounded like Charles Manson, which I was like, oh shit, it does.
That's even worse.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, she scribbled on its face with biro and called it Cheese Manson.
What has she scribbled on its face?
I don't know what the markings are, John. I'm
really?
Quite terrified. Yeah, I'm
sure, tribal.
Sure it talks to her in her sleep. It's quite
a sort
scary.
Of Germanic tribe.
Completely.
Yeah, it's a very strange child. But apart from that, I'll do weekly podcast called Partly Political Broadcast, where I scream about everything that's going on and do jokes about it, and then I interview clever people. I know, there's nothing going on
nothing
at all.
It's really at the moment. Quiet time for all
so,
of
So, yeah, I only do it because otherwise I'd have to shout at people in the park. Really.
Maureen, what about you?
I've got a podcast with Jen Brist and Alison June Smith called Women Talking Bollocks, and that's exactly what we do. We talk bollocks every week. Got a book out called The Void, which
you've read. Good. Short stories.
And I do a comedy chat show every Thursdays at 8:30 called My Comedy Chats, and you can find out all about it at maureenyoungo.com, and you get the inside track to the world of comedy.
Marvellous. Well, without further ado, I can tell you there is a joint first place on this. There is a tie. Tienan, unfortunately, you were slightly behind on it. The Cheese Manson thing, I nearly gave you points after the points were closed, but it wouldn't have saved you. So you got on 24 points, it was Tienan. John and Maureen, who swapped scores, still ended up neck and neck with 26.
Oh,
yeah. Joint winners. Congrats. Thank you, everybody, for participating.
Cool.
Thank you for the people
us.
Listening. And you're all now free to go. I'll unlock the door. Thanks for listening. There will be a new episode with new competitors and new balls every Friday. If you like what you've heard, I've been Vix Layton, and this is Comedy Arcade. Please tell all your friends, rate the show, and hit subscribe. And if you didn't like it, I've been Ed Gamble, and this is Off Menu. Pubbernoms or bread?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.